Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
That's how I'm going to start the podcast.
The Mountain Football Show is happening right now.
Gotta be done. Gotta be done. Shout out to Grouchy Lake. It's his favorite song.
Well, I didn't know that was an actual song.
David, do you remember the song where it was like, gotta get up, gotta get up.
Ooh.
Yeah,
Ooh. I bet Alan knows who it is.
He just said it.
Ain't Mortel.
Oh, there you go. All right, then.
You need to sort your camera. Can it just be me and Smithy on fucking on camera all the time? Like,
yeah, I'm busy. I'm fucking busy as fuck. So
you're busy.
I'm very busy. Yeah.
Well, we'll cut out the NFL chat this week. It'll be another shorty, mate. 45 minutes.
I mean, I've got a couple hours now, but I haven't stopped for a week. I won't be back Saturday either. Luke's getting me fucking tickets. So,
oh well.
As long as he's not a worky ticket, you're all right.
It's early kickoff, remind him early kickoff.
Half 12.
All right. Yeah, I'll remind him. I'm going to donate my ticket to him tomorrow.
That actually reminds me, I think I might have the streaming ability back soon. They're saying it's under review. So,
oh, yeah.
Watch this space. It might be back before February. So that's good.
When was it going to be? Like mid February?
February 25th, but it says under review. So if they review it, and what else I've put on there.
Now that you've done your, I had to do a speed awareness course last week, which you cut out of the podcast, by the way.
Yeah. Yes,
you've done your little survey that says what's bad about copyright fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've done that, they might just like forget about it.
It was like, oh. I was like, oh. And it was like, oh.
Oh. Yeah. It is what it is. We'll see what happens. This watch his face. If I can, I'll pop it up. But also, I'm moving out of this joint soon.
Oh, Smithy, I'm going to miss your white room and your lovely suede bed sheet there.
Yes. So
going to Angel Pines, aren't you?
Yeah. We're going to update Alan on why that's funny.
He won't get a reference with you. You can stand here and talk to him for the next 10 minutes. He won't understand.
I think Alan played San Andreas. When it came out, that must have been right up his street. Uh-huh. Alan, you know GTA San Andreas? Did you play it
on the PS2?
The game I sort of remember, I played a lot of Unreal Tournament. Queer. Played a game called Black
Vice City,
Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, game called Nemesis, Sidewinder, 1942, Shinobi, Modern Warfare 1, Modern Warfare 3,
Black Ops 1,
Big Red 1, Vanguard,
World at War,
Medal of Honor, FIFA World Cup,
Advanced Warfare, EFC,
Pro Evo,
Soccer, International, Superstar Soccer,
Red Card Soccer.
I'll tell you.
No, it would be great if you got 10 goals for getting a red card. That'd be mint.
Speaking of rule changes, I'm going to tangent it onto actual things. In discussion with the EFL, the FA, and the rule makers of football, and they're potentially looking at changing one of the rules around goalkeepers time wasting and holding the ball.
I did say this, well, yeah.
Well, there is actually a rule that doesn't get enforced.
Yes, it's a six-second problem. And to enforce that rule, instead of yellow carding and giving a free kick, what they're planning on changing it to is give away a corner. If the goalkeeper holds onto the ball for too long, I think 6 seconds holding on to it is just natural within football now. Again, like Andy just said, they don't enforce it. So it's finding that right timeline. If a goalkeeper holds onto the ball, say 10 seconds, there's no...
Let me hell on though, mate. Guaranteed they'll be hell on about it. I just can't see it ever coming to fruition. They can talk about it all they want.
Yeah, but I think you're wrong. I think it will, because it wasn't so long ago. You could fucking pass the ball back to Pete when he could pick it up.
It was a fucking 90s. That was a kind of while ago.
Yeah, but You still changed the rule.
That's because fucking like Liverpool were abusing it. Was it Liverpool? Or was it? I can't remember who it was. Did you see the fucking pass it back? The kid pass the fucking grobler. Did you just fucking pick it up?
I think they changed the rules. It's just if everyone's on board.
They changed the rules a few seasons back, where if you were touching it like you were wrestling in the box, it was an automatic penalty. And they enforced that for a few weeks and then they fucking binned it.
I feel like the time wasting rule, they've already sort of trying to tackle that, aren't they? You know what I mean? Oh, well,
are they?
They're kicking the ball away for one. That's a fucking straight yellow card. That never used to be that.
We watched Leeds. Well, and the Leeds game fucking waste time for fucking 90 minutes.
We did.
How many yellow cards did they dish out for time wasted? Fucking zero.
None, and that's the referee. You know what I mean? Again, the referee not getting scored correctly. However, I imagine there's a ref that watches a ref, surely, you know, and sort of assesses their game.
They've got a little league table that are going up and down.
I've got no faith in them if they can let fucking poop fucking do a line of fucking peak and fucking.
He's just suffered a double relegation there. He's fucking dropping like a stone.
What league's he in now? Like the conference or something?
You think he's a conference guy? He's gone into administration. It's really tough times in fucking Coot FC. Like,
so where were you going with that?
Talking about shite referees. No, I'm talking about shite referees. That fucking referee in the Sheffield United game was fucking crap.
I did not see any of the game. Like, not why I had to, like, because of work, so you can explain
right.
after us.
Right. So,
right. He was shite. Not just, some of the other, I'm just going to make this point. The guy was shite, not just for Sunderland, but also for Sheffield United. Like, he was universally shite. He, throughout the whole game, made poor decision after poor decision. And I'm not saying it from a biased point of view. Like, I was looking at the game thinking, if I was a Sheffield United fan, I'd be fucking raging with that decision. I mean, obviously, he sent fucking Meppham off, and I didn't think it was a red card. I think he's argued he's the last man. He's not fucking Ballard's right there. If Meppham just disappeared, Ballard would have been able to get across. In my opinion, he's not the last man. Silly, silly, silly.
So,
and I think he fucking realised that he fucked up by sending him off, and that's why he sent off the geezer from Sheffield United.
The thing with the red card is there was a tackle literally 7, maybe 8 minutes before that from a Sheffield United player, exactly the same, but it was inside the box. Our player was inside their box. He makes that exact same tackle.
The penalty was Watson, wasn't it? He fucking running into the box.
But it was a foul on Roberts. Roberts had the exact same foul on him. Like earlier in the game, and it didn't get given for anything. So why is that one last man and that one not, even though our player was further ahead when he got tackled?
So it doesn't make any sense. It's so inconsistent. It's fucking bullshit. Like, the red card, I know they went down to 10 men 5 minutes later, but the red card is completely fucking through. You know, that back line off until halftime. Like, I think we did a really good job, to be fair, like, adjusting to the red card. I think the good doctor made some sensible changes forced on him. You know, I did no way you take Chris Meppham off if you had the option. You know, if you had the option. But yeah. I think we adapted pretty well. We rode it out pretty well. Yeah, we got beat, but it's going to come on to my main point. But
yeah,
I think we were by far the better team. And I might have had my rose tinted specs on because I think at the time I was like, we fucking smashed these the whole fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I look back at the stats, it was pretty even, to be honest.
Yeah, but stats are a little bit skewed. A shot on target could be taken from 40 yards out.
How long after our red was there?
Five minutes.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what minute was the red? Like 40. Mathems?
40.
Oh, and then just before halftime, the guy didn't need to make the challenge, did he? It was fucking stupid. Like, if I was the Sheffield United gaffer and I'd just seen Sunderland going down to 10 men, I'd be like, don't do anything. Get yourself sent off. Do not fucking do anything. Don't even fucking breathe in the wrong direction. Don't shout, ref, it was a fucking foul. Get yourself sent off. Don't do any of that. But this Sheffield United geezer, I'd have been livid if I was a...
Who was it?
I can't remember his name.
What happened? Sorry, because you didn't really explain. What?
Sorry, so David, feel free to chip in with an opinion.
No, he's not. He's there. Jonah's been sick, so he's got to go and sort out his baby's sick.
Fair enough. Our suitor, yeah. So we're breaking through. We're pretty much on the halfway line.
Yellow, right? Already on a yellow.
Halfway, breaking through on the halfway line, and he just pulls the player's shirt back.
Was it Job? I can't remember. Someone just floated past.
I think it was Rig. And he just, it might have been Rig or Job.
He just like put his arm around him almost, and then
pulls his shoulder.
Yeah, he just doesn't let go, and I mean it was fucking stupid. Like, and the ref could not have got his foot yellow card out quicker. He was fucking practically sprinting there to do it.
Yeah, because he's like, oh shit, I made a mistake. I'm gonna
sprint
up.
Yeah. Yeah, right, great. I've got the opportunity to unfuck my mistake here. I'm gonna send him off.
He was trying to balance it out. If you get what I mean, but it's shouldn't be a thing.
While the booting off, was he?
Nah,
I'm pretty sure some of the bench staff got yellow carded.
I was a bit upset towards the end of the game, like, because I was furiously texting saying, we fucking smashed these cunts. I can't believe we've been beaten.
I know Hendrick scored, so like, just talk me through the goal and how it occurred.
Just very scrambling. Like, comes from a set piece, whipped in, cleared out, and he's just the first one there to like whack at it. Very, if you equate it to like how Sunderland score scrappy goals, it's very Luke O'Nine-ish. It's like he's just in the right place at the right time to whack it through bodies. The keeper couldn't really do anything about it.
No real technique, or like, he didn't beat fucking three blokes and then slot it home. He just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
It was a good strike.
A bit of luck involved, but yeah, it was an alright strike. I don't know whether the keeper could have done a bit better. Probably not. I think it would have been tough for him to save. I think it was frustrating because we did more than enough to get a point out of that game. What I would say though is, and I've been saying it for a lot of weeks, but this last game really underlined it. It's time to fucking drop Roberts. It's time to get rid of him. Put him on the bench indefinitely.
Why? Because he missed a pen.
He missed a pen. He never, ever, ever looked confident taking the pen. He looked like he was about to fuck it up. Two, he offers nothing in the final third. Nothing at all. Like, he doesn't score goals. He doesn't assist. What he tends to do is, like, because he looks a bit silky, he's got a little bit of skill. I said this before, like, he flatters. People think he's good because he's got, like, his ball control's all right, and he can beat a man. But when he gets in that final third, every single time, he offers fuck all. And I seen the fucking stat on Twitter. I was scrolling through, and there's people like, Roberts is a great player. Like, and someone commented saying, listen, Patrick Roberts has got 18 goal contributions. Goal contributions, this is. So this is goals and assists in his last 120 games.
So 10%.
That is, about 15%. Yeah. Like, one in every six games, he might get a goal or an assist. That is outrageous for allegedly this, like, tricky.
But that's what enough. I think that's why he's in the team more, because of the balance. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's balanced, mate.
Who looks significantly better.
Mini tirade on Roberts now, then.
Go on, mate. I'll set you off. Off you go.
Basically, the missed penalty, I'm not sure why he is the person who should be taking the penalty in the first place. We've got two strikers.
Did he win the penalty?
No, it was Watson who won the penalty.
Even if he did win the penalty, we've got better forwards, better options, and people who can hit double goal tallies for the season. So it didn't make sense to logistically put him in that penalty spot. Maybe it is to try and boost his confidence, but all it's done now is completely done the opposite. It's wiped it out. Yeah.
Sorry to interject you. I know you're on a roll, but at that point in the game, we were like on the ascendancy. We were the better team. We score there, it's an entirely, entirely different game.
Yeah, I think I'm half agreeing with what you're saying around the not being a starter and being on the bench, because I do think he has, like you said, he's got the flair, he's got the skill, but he needs to become more of a impact, roll of the dice kind of player rather than our consistent right midfielder, because we have got options that are going to be more likely to break past their left backs and keep control and actually get it into the box. What Roberts tends to do is break past the player and then try break past the player again and then break past the player again. He doesn't whip the ball in first time. Watson is a good example, because we were a little bit negative around him on the opposite wing a couple of weeks ago. But as soon as he came into this game, he just burst down and whipped it in first time. That's what we want more from our wingers. We want to get the delivery into our strikers more often. Roberts doesn't supply that.
Like, he's selfish, mate. He thinks he's the big licks.
So,
I know. I had the same conversation about Jack Clark last season. The difference is Jack Clark tended to score goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be screaming at him to pass, make the right decision, and he'd like do some trickery and fucking slot it home. And I'd be like, all right, fair enough. But Roberts doesn't do that. What he does.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Is fucking keep the ball, keep the ball, keep the ball, fire wide.
So you're right.
Try and pass and lose the ball.
You are right there. But the last time he did do it was when Ahmad was here. So it is purely for me, for him. I'm just thinking it's a confidence thing.
Ahmad was here more than 18 months ago.
I know. Something needs to happen with Patrick and the rest of the squad just to get him involved, because there's something not quite right and we need to figure out how to.
He needs dropping, mate. That's what he needs dropping. That's what has to happen here. He cannot be turning up every week expecting to see his name on the fucking team sheet just because he's Patrick fucking Roberts, right?
He needs
dropping. He's not performing and hasn't performed this season. All right, last season he was in for a lot of it. He hasn't performed in an extended period of time.
Yeah, so like I said, impact.
To fucking sit on the bench.
I'm in agreement. I think he should be coming off the bench to have 15 minutes of absolute quality towards the end of the game.
Not to take this back to the NFL, right? But the Panthers dropped Bryce Young. No, this is legit, right? The Panthers dropped Bryce Young this season because he was playing crap. Put Andy Dalton in for 5 games and then brought Bryce Young back. And now he's fucking balling. He's playing class. It's the same concept. Take him out of the situation, let him fucking stew for a bit, get his head right, and then put him back in.
Well, it's hard for me to comment because I didn't see the game, you know. But, like, obviously I've seen previous Patrick Roberts performances. And, yeah, I mean, he's, and I said, like, he's the final third and end is has been on it, like, and now he'll cross it in, he'll go out for a throw-in, or he takes a shot and it's someone's fucking window, you know what I mean? So maybe Andrew's right, dropping him might be the way forward, but who's going to sit? Who's going to come in off that right hand side? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Onto the left.
Mienda's been all right.
For me, the answer is
yeah. What is Mienda left footed?
Yeah.
No, he's right footed.
He is left footed.
No, he's right footed.
But this is what I mean. Check out like wingers and that's the shape of the team, isn't it?
Don't you want to right footed wing?
I think that's why Roberts is in there, just for the balance and how we play.
Yeah, he is left footed.
Oh.
All right, stick him in. I don't see why not.
Me either. He's a presence for a start, you know. And like I've said all season, like when he's got the ball at his feet, he looks very, very good. What better way to do that than put him on the wing?
It was man of the match for us then, and that was a loss, but.
I'm going to say a complete 180 to last week's chat. Obviously, Wilson was very good, but my player of the match, unbelievably, was fucking Watson. Like, because he had he had a crap game last week, but against Sheffield United, he was really good. He was so busy. Like, really, like, efficient. Won the penalty. He was just popping up everywhere, doing the right things. Like, I mean, maybe he watched our podcast last week or the week before. I was like, fucking hell,
I just said, wasn't a starter, but like, if he's...
He started and he looked really good. He looked really good. Like, there was a lot of players that did good. Joe looked good. Looked good.
I think overall, we looked like a very professional team in that game, and yeah. I do agree with you. Man of the match for me was Watson as well.
Where did Luke play?
He was right back.
Yeah,
was he?
Yeah, right. He was filling in. He was
fit.
No, he was playing left back, man, because Sertan's injured, but he's back for tomorrow.
Yeah, no, yeah, Hume. Oh. Yeah, it was Hume.
Yeah, Hume was playing right back, and then it was Metten, Ballard, 09. And then obviously Metten came off. Well, of course, was sent off. And there was some shuffling around. We ended up with like a four. What would you say we ended up at? So were they like 4-4-1? It wasn't really a 4-4-1. It was more like a 4-2-2-1. I don't know. I couldn't really make sense of the formation.
We definitely played one up front, but it was
one up top. But we had width, so maybe it was a 4-4-1.
Maybe
I don't know. There was a lot of sitting from Neil and Job though.
Yeah, maybe a 4-2-2.
4-2-4-2-2-1.
Yeah, yeah.
Apart from Roberts, who had a stink bag.
I mean, I wouldn't say he had a stink bag. It was just.
No, he was crap, some of the other.
No. It wasn't crap. It was just a bang average performance. And obviously, if we're at the top of the table, we're expecting above average. So I wouldn't say he had a stinker. Like, I think that's a little bit unfair.
Outside, and this is Davies, but I know he's not here. Mm-hmm. But according to FotMob.com, with your ratings, mm-hmm. The only player who was worse than Roberts was Metman because he got a fucking red card.
Fair enough.
But isn't his rating like 6.2 though?
6.2. But Ballard was, according to this, Ballard was man of the match with the old 7.1.
Danny Bizzle.
But Watson on the 7, also good.
That tells you a lot though. The best players just.
And on the flip side, for Sheffield United, their best keeper, best player was there. Their best keeper was their player. Their best player was their keeper. 8.6 he got, mate.
Because he was peppered. He was absolutely...
He saved a penalty and then a couple of other shots as well, right? So, listen, I think we played all right. Everyone played all right, like, across the board, with the exception of Roberts. Like, even Dan Neil, he's a bit unassuming. Like, he wasn't doing anything flashy, but he was just doing his fucking job. That's his job. So, just doing the business.
I'll wrap it up here in a sec. Just, I don't want to say it. You did say it. Sunderland were the better side for the majority of that game. And
I believe so, yeah.
With one weak link, as in Roberts not providing the ball in the box as often as we'd like, that was pretty much our main drawback. So I think pretty much everyone had a solid performance. It was pretty good. And you got to remember who the opposition is in this one. They've got a lot. They're odds-on favourite to win the championship this season, especially considering where they are now. Thanks to the win.
Well, just 2 points. Mm-hmm. One. Just final point on Roberts. Look, I don't want this to sound like I'm having a go at Roberts. Like, I want him to get back to where he was a couple of seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not just. I'm just going. Oh, he's missed a penalty. He's fucking crap. Get him off. This is like being a series of performances where he's been fucking crap. Like, it is time to give the guy a rest. Just take him out of the situation before it gets any worse, before the fans start to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Let him have a rest on the bench. You know, I'm not saying fucking drop him out of the squad altogether. Have him under the impact, and let's see if he can come off the bench, make an impact, and work his way back up. I think that's the best for everyone involved right now. The second point is, although we got beat off Sheffield United, I do think we were the better team. And this is the same for pretty much every game. You know, we now haven't won in 6, right? So 5 draws and a loss.
Yeah.
Right? In those 5 games, we've probably been the best team. Sorry, in those 6 games, we've probably been the best team in 5 of them, right? So I'm not worried. I still think we've got a good chance of being in and around the automatics, definitely in the playoff picture. I'm not too worried just yet. We are playing well. We just need to convert the performance. This sounds like a cliche. We need to convert the performances into wins.
I'm just going to, instead of showing our lovely faces, I'm going to show up the league table on the video. So we can have this nice and big, and we can see where Sunderland are at. We have, obviously, Sheffield United, we should, in theory, be on 40 points now, but we're on 38 with that 2-point deduction. Then Burnley on 36, Leeds on 35, and Sunderland are now on 33. Considering how much of a gap we had before those six games, what, 5 draws and a loss on the bounce, we kind of deserve to be dropping down. But like you said, we are
the form doesn't look good on paper, mate. The form doesn't look great. If we got 5 points out of possible 18 and we were playing crap, I'd be worried. But we're not playing crap. We're playing pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Playing very good, mate. But it's one of those things where you've just got to take it with a pinch of salt. We have bad dips every single season. And the fact that we managed to pick up points in some of those games where we would traditionally have lost, I'm going to take it in my head as positively as I possibly can, because you'll spiral out of control with loss after loss after loss, because we don't want Beal Ball kind of mentality back in our head. Because
golden rule, mate, he must not be named.
Well, I was just thinking like the other day about how poor the tail end of our last season was and how long that felt. Because it felt like it was from Christmas.
Well, December. It was, mate. Mowbray got sacked just after Christmas, didn't he?
Even though we won a couple of games, we never felt like we were going to win another game after another game after another game. I never felt like we had the confidence to win back-to-back games. Never never mind 3 or 4 on the spin season.
Because we didn't.
Yeah, no. But I never felt like we could. Whereas this season, I think we could go on an absolute domination streak. It depends on who we've got and where they're at in their season. So December, I think, on paper, before we go into it, looks solid for Sunderland.
We got Stoke 3 times, mate. Twice in the league, one in the cup.
Yeah, but is that all in December?
No, one's in January.
Yeah, December.
11th of January, the FA Cup.
Maybe we've now gone out of a position of we're in control of the league to it's now back in the favourites' hands, as in Sheffield, Leeds and Burnley. They were going to be our competition and we were surprising the league 5 games ago. It's now back in their favour. But if we're chomping at their bit for the rest of the season and snatch it last couple of games, then I'd be absolutely fine with that. But we've got to rely on other teams doing us favours now. That's what I don't like about the situation we've found ourselves in the tail end of November.
Yeah. There's lots of games to go. Yeah, we're not saying we're relying on other teams yet. We just got to focus on our own game.
Are we doing that though?
Sheffield United and Burnley and Leeds and Borough and whoever else fucking kicking around. Let them play their own game. We just got to concentrate on us. And if we do that and then we're around about the playoff area come, you know, Easter time, then we'll start thinking, oh, well, if Sheffield United lose. But until that point, you've just got to play. You've just got to play the game, mate. Play the team in front of you. Get some points on the board. See where you land.
Yeah.
You just got to be in the mixer, mate. You've got to be in the mixer when it comes to the fucking witching hour.
Oh.
West Brom, Sheffield United. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we've got Stoke.
Should be winnable on paper, I guess.
Should be winnable at home, right?
Oh, here's another thing. Stat finding here now, but those 6 games that we drew and lost in a row, 4 of them were away.
Yeah, so the Millwall game was a last-minute fucking equaliser. Mm-hmm. The Coventry game, we were 2-0 up. We should have never lost that. We should never drew that. The QPR game, we got a man sent off. So, and we somehow just get a point. So...
Again, yeah, you're trying to look at silver linings.
I think the fixtures are opening up a little bit. I think we've got an easier run over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks than we've had for a while. Right. So hopefully we can get back on track.
I think it's going to be interesting when Davey and Alan come back as to where we're at with the conversation. But I'm ready to move on to the Stoke game and start talking about that. I know it's... It might have been and gone by the time I've edited this video down a little bit, but before we start, I'm using Bing for this, by the way. Bing says the win probability of Sunderland over Stoke is 53.2% and a Stoke win is 20.6%.
David, have you got any insight on that?
Odds on, we are
thanks,
literally...
Bing.
We are literally on paper clear favourites in this game. For good reason. How is Stoke doing?
How is Stoke doing? That's a great question. Let me consult the table. Welcome back. Stoke are currently sitting in 14th position.
Mm-hmm.
Their recent form is loss, draw, 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 about as good as us, really.
Yeah.
Gooch still playing for them.
I think he retired, yeah, didn't he?
Enough.
Oh, no.
He's still there.
No, Jacob mistakenly said he retired, and then we corrected him a couple of weeks ago. So you got that little earworm in my head.
I'm just double checking that.
Yeah, he still plays for them.
Yeah. Lyndon Gooch. Yeah, they look to be in about the same form as we are.
So their last result was Burnley, 2-0 loss.
And they drew the three games before that.
Against Preston, QPR, like we did, and Millwall, like we did.
The forward's called Million Manhoff. Mate, if a guy called Million Manhoff goes against you, you know it's not going your way.
I was going to play puns, but it's not appropriate.
Listen, I think we'd beat them. That's it. Like on paper, our form was crap, but like that's not the reality of the situation. We're actually not playing too bad, so yeah. I think we've got a good chance to beat Stoke. I don't necessarily think who's their gaffer these days.
I have no idea.
Let's have a look. Narcís Pelach. A Spanish football coach. I tell you what, it's come a long way from fucking Tony Pulis, haven't they?
And Nicaragua's
not really, because they're fucking stuck in a championship. He had them in the Prem, flinging long balls in with Delap.
Well, this is what
it's a unique tactic, though, isn't it?
They've gone from Tony Pulis playing a certain way of football and being very successful, reasonably successful at the upper, sort of mid table in the Prem to mid table in the championship with a Spanish 36-year-old former Palermo player.
I mean,
it's a real change in the guard over at Stoke.
I don't want to criticise Stoke too much. Because I just feel like the whole division's tight. You know, like you said, like you thought we were the better team against Sheffield United at the top of the league, you know, and we thought we'd fucking beat Plymouth. I mean, I was convinced we'd beat Plymouth and we got beat 3-2. So I don't think you can take anyone lightly in the league. I think the Breeze proven himself to be a fairly good tactician. I think with a little bit of luck that we haven't had luck really. I mean,
with a little bit of luck, we can make it through.
You know what I mean? I just think the game's like that sometimes, you know. It's like you think, oh, we deserve to win there, we didn't. So, LeBray will have a game plan and, you know, he'll move things around. I think you're right, I think we'll beat him. But I just, you know, we can't take anyone lightly. I don't think he does anyway.
No, I agree. I don't think we can take them lightly. It is a bit of a cliche, but there's no easy games. Like, I would like to think we can beat them, though.
The one thing I will say on LeBray is, he, like you said, he is a tactician, but he doesn't have any preconceptions of how other teams are set up. So he is doing or is adapting per the opponents and their recent games rather than their long-term history. So I do like that about him. He is more reactively proactive, I guess. Like he's doing it the week or two before the game against the next opposition rather than...
The only one I sort of like feel like he didn't was the Coventry game. I feel like that's the only time I thought he's made a mistake. And when we played West Brom, we were the better team. We should have fucking won. But, like, you know, you can't be on your game all the time. You know, it's like anything, any job. You know what I mean? Sometimes you do make mistakes. So, overall, I'm really happy with LeBray.
Yeah. What I think was changed in the last couple of weeks, though, is our goal scoring prowess, I guess. We haven't put the ball in the back of the net as often as we used to. We're putting them in basically two a game at one stage, and now we're starting to fall behind that. We're taking too many games with a nil at the start. I think our first goalless game was that the QPR game. QPR was the first time we didn't score, and now we've done it four times since. So it's...
We need to start... this goes back to what I was saying last week and the week before that, probably the week before that. Like, it's not as if we're not creating these chances. We are creating the chances. We need to take the chances. The reason we didn't beat Sheffield United is the reason we didn't beat Millwall. It's the reason we didn't beat Coventry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can go back any number of games in the past month or so where we've had so many and sometimes clear cut chances. You know, like we're talking about one on ones sort of penalties. This sort of situation, right?
Where why you was like, capitalize. Can I just step back with the about the fucking? Why didn't Isidore take it?
You tell me.
He's the fucking striker.
I'd rather fucking Watson took it. Genuinely, but I'd rather fucking Watson took it.
And again, that's that penalty takers must be like, I mean, the last penalty was Roberts scoring a penalty, wasn't it? We had, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was, and I think it was near the start of the season. I think Roberts scored that one. So maybe he was on penalty duties and he scored his last penalty. I don't know.
I'm going to go back to Roberts, but I don't think he scored this season.
He scored a penalty.
I might be wrong. Okay.
Do you reward him for being able to put the ball on the spot and then take it again? He's not delivered in the game itself.
He must have been designated the penalty taker at the start of the season. And now,
right? In 105 games for Sunderland, Roberts has scored 7 goals.
One of them was a very important goal against QPR. It got us in the fucking final. So, you know what?
He has scored 1 goal this season. That's probably the penalty.
It was a penalty.
Fair enough.
He should be off penalty duties now. So hopefully we see Isidore take a fucking penalty, you know. Hey, which I think it always should be a striker.
I agree. I'm just having a look at his stats here, and I don't want to go back around on this share. Maybe Smithy, you can chop this bit and put it in the Patrick Roberts chat. But we're talking about that season where he had Ahmad and Jack Clark alongside him. And he was this fucking wonder player. But the stats aren't that good, mate. He only scored 5 goals that season and got 3 assists.
But
we're looking back and thinking he does have the potential. He just hasn't done it. Like, for me, I'm out on Patrick Roberts. Like, I'm out on him. He needs fucking sitting for a bit.
I'll ask one question around that. And do you think he is on the way out then? Because there's talk of Labrie bringing in some new right midfielders in the January transfer window. I don't know, Labrie doesn't get the choice, but he has rumoured to say he's got favourites.
Speaking of, yeah, this Speakman will look at this and make a decision. It won't be fucking Labrie.
I know that, there is rumours that Labrie is targeted some of his previous players.
Fuck Parry Roberts, right?
No, I think that's too far.
You can't say he has had his moments. And maybe you're right, he's sort of coming in. He's a fucking journeyman, you know what I mean? He's like Connolly. You know what I mean? He's been around the block.
He's been around the block.
He's been around the block. Like, you know, Connolly's been around the block. He's a journeyman, so he had a stint at Celtic, played a fucking Man City, wherever else he's fucking been. I think he's been at Borough. Maybe it is time for him to fucking, this is the last season we'll have him.
I think he flies because he's got like a low center of gravity. He looks pretty on the eye. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've seen him beat a man and think, wow, that's really good. But like the end product just is not there.
If you see, but he said, you know, for all the games he's played, if you forget about like this season, he was injured in this season, he still did well. He scored that important goal against QPR and the season with Ahmad where he was really good. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he's done, but like
I'm not saying he's done. I just think he needs mention. He needs to fucking sit down and like see someone else perform in his position and think fucking hell. Yeah, but I want my starting spot back.
How old's Roberts now?
Probably late 20s, right? I don't know.
I thought he's 26, 27. He's not that old.
He's not going to learn anything.
He is 27.
Right, he's finished learning. He should know. Like in footballing terms, you're 27, you can't learn football. Maybe he's your early 20s, maybe, but he should be well established now. Footballing career is well short, you know what I mean? 30 to 33, and you, like after that, you're done. So he should know what he's doing.
No, I absolutely agree. Like, he does need to just either be benched or step up. There's no two options about it. But
that's what I'm saying. I think by doing the first one, when he does come back in, he will do the second one.
Yeah.
Like I think he thinks like he is one of the first names on the team sheet.
He absolutely is, though. That's a problem. That might be the problem.
Exactly. We shouldn't be. All right, let's stop shitting on Pyro Roberts. Like, we spent half an hour talking about how crap Pyro Roberts is.
You have. Yeah, you might as well change your fucking picture to the same as Davies, but
Pyro Roberts.
The thing is about Labrie is I trust them to fucking see what's going on the pitch and adapt and make changes.
I'm going to quickly interject with Labrie. I think he has people he doesn't like, and he's, what's he called, shunning them out a little bit.
Yeah, and that's for me. That's a, you know, well observed, Smudge, because I think this is how he battles, with, not battles with Speakman, but this is how he, Speakman can bring people in, but if he doesn't play him, because at the end of the day, Labrie picks the team, maybe Speakman will get the message, you know what I mean? I don't know how the dynamic works there. I'd love to be a fly on the wall, like to see how it works. I still think Speakman and that, well, KLD, a tiny bit, but I think Speakman's got the see on who comes in. But it definitely is up to fucking Labrie who he plays.
There is players, I think, that should be a lot closer to chewing on the bits of the position that Roberts is going to make available, I guess. And with Mundell being injured and that kind of thing, like, there is other players there that are, in theory, and have been in the first team numerous times, but for some reason they're not there. I know Bennett was kind of a flash in the pan, but Oshish, other than his delivery, was quite solid in open play.
He came on against Sheffield United, first appearance of the season.
He's all right. Like I said, in open play, he's decent. It's just, do not put him on fucking corners. he cannot lift the ball up.
There was a game last season. Do you remember? Oh, Sheesh was one of the match. Do you remember? It was after he fucked up that corner, like the game after.
Yeah, there's Abdullah Bar, Alex Hitch.
6 minutes, mate. He came over 6 minutes.
So where did Oshish go? What position did he put him in?
In the midfield, wasn't it? So he took...
I don't know where he plays, though. I think
he could play anywhere across the midfield. He could play left.
Really?
Well, he can't play the whole... He's not a holder, but he could play any attacking role in the midfield.
He's not quick enough to be out wide. You know what I mean? I don't know. If anything, he's probably like a sort of number 10 cam. I don't know. I still think he's... Nah. Same with Yelda. I think Yelda's fucking... He's not for me.
Yelda's there as his numbers now at the minute. You know, like, he's not... Like, he brought on Elise, didn't he? Like, after Mem went off, he brought on Elise.
Yeah, because Elise is a good player.
So I agree. The problem with Elise is he's got too many injuries. But that's his big issue. Yeah. I've seen nothing to think there's something about him. Like, he's just...
I mean, even right. Smudge comes with a yell that was when I mentioned the yell, I can't remember what game it was, but you said he was not great. Yelda.
Oh, Yelda. Yeah. He's so he's one. So if you
don't shade,
I didn't like him, and then Smudge was like, no, and then Smudge watched. I can't remember what gear was. He went, yeah, he's shite.
He's one of the few. I really rate defenders. I like defenders, but he just cannot. He cannot do it. It just seems completely out of place. He likes to be. I'd say he's more of a CDM, like a Pierre Coir or Dan Neal, like maybe a little deeper than that. But he's definitely not like on par with Metham or Ballard. Nowhere, not even Lugo 9. He's just not there. He's got the big physicality, but
listen,
he's just not switched on.
I'm going to be the other side of the coin, right? I think he is an okay player.
That's fine. You can be an okay player, but you can't be an okay player in the top of the championship. You can be an okay player at fucking Oxford United or where Sheffield Wednesday at the minute. But yeah,
I agree. The standard now needs to be, you know, even though we think Ballard's a good player and Metham's a good player and fucking Job's playing well and Isidore, we still need to strive for better players. We can't be settling for anything less now. We're so close to going up. I feel like if we drop our standards to get another fucking journeyman, you know, it would be a perpetual wheel of just fucking either surviving or fucking mid-table. So, yeah. But yeah, we want these players, but the experienced player standard now is Metham. Metham has been fucking outstanding. And that's the type of player we want. I know you can't always get it, but you can't just look in the market and go, oh, you know what, he's available. Let's just fucking bring him, see what works out, which is what happened with Connolly. You know what I mean? That wasn't a well thought out fucking transfer, that. Padeva, there's another one.
Padeva.
Let's fucking take a gamble on him.
I'm just going to call him Dave now.
He's a gambler, but when we get up and, well, hopefully if we promote, or, you know, next year if we don't promote and we want to get in the playoffs and try and promote again, Speakman's got to fucking look a bit, you know, and that's purse strings, but at the end of the day, that's what buys you quality. You know what I mean? You can't deny he's done fucking well so far, but let's not drop the standard.
I agree. I agree. And what is about Metham is he was promoted out of the Championship with Bournemouth the first time round. He played in the Premier League consistently for them. It's only like the past season or so that he dropped out of favour with them. Obviously still talented enough to do it. I don't know who brokered that deal, but that's the sort of deal we need to be looking at. I don't want a loan from fucking the Porto B team to get him here in. Do you know what I mean? What I want is like some good quality established players who are looking to, you know, maybe, I'm not saying towards the end of the career, but like I've got experience, are looking to like just a new challenge, a fresh start, whatever it is, come in and prove something. And that's exactly what Metham's done.
Right.
I said when we signed him, I thought he'd be a great sign. He has been. He's been mint. And I still don't fucking, just to circle all the way back to where I was an hour ago, I still don't think his fucking, his sending off at the weekend gone was a red card. Ballard was fucking right there. He was within arm's reach. How can he be the fucking last man if he's right there?
I'm going to quickly, with the Speakman Labrie conversation, right? These are the 10 arrivals in the summer transfer window. And I think there's four players that are either first team or first team breaking, and the rest are all on the edge. So you've got Aleksić, Abdoulaye, Isidore, Brown, Pervada, Moore, Nuko, Samed, Metham, and Connolly. So the ones that are first team and first team breaking: Connolly, Metham, Isidore, and Aleksić. Brown, and Aleksić maybe on the breaking side. The other five are just gambles. Like, we haven't seen Abdoulaye, and we've spent a shit ton of money on him. Like,
he's injured though, isn't he? That's the problem.
Why are we buying? He was bought injured. Why?
I'm not a fan of that. Like, I'm not a fan of buying injured.
Yeah, me neither. I actually hate it because it just gets him in the back room doing nothing for months and months. And why not buy him when he's actually fit and ready? And
what is the fucking injury?
I can't remember what it was, but I remember they looked into it and found that it was worse than they initially figured. So they sent him to surgery, didn't they? That was the crack.
Well, I'll be upset if he isn't a good player. You must be confident that he can play well if you're buying him injured. You know what I mean? It already makes no sense.
But he has played a grand total of 40 professional games and scored 21 goals in the Belgian First League. So he has got pedigree at essentially top-flight football in Belgium, but that's not the Championship. He looks good on paper, but he also looks volatile. He's got 12 yellow cards in 40 games.
I can't see anyone taking Will Isidore's place up top. Like, should we do our predictions, mate?
Well, I was trying to hold on for Davey coming back because he's got Tony Ivins.
He's not coming back, mate.
It's just a cameo appearance this week, mate. That's all it was.
Okay, we'll do predictions then. Are we doing no Tony Ivins then? Because I haven't got the ability to do gambling here in Australia.
We'll leave it.
Andrew, you go first with your prediction.
Okay. I think that we are going to comfortably win 2-0. I think it's going to be Job and Isidore.
I like it. Confident. What about you, Alan?
I believe that we will win. I'm going to go on 4-0.
Oh, statement win.
Isidore Hattrick and Chorkin won by Rig.
What do you think, David?
I like the sound of you, I like the sound of your confidence.
Come on. Well, let us down, lad.
I'm predicting a win, but I want to caveat it with I think Labrie will take this cautiously because of how many times we're playing them. So I'm gonna say just a 1-0 or a 2-1. We'll say 2-1. 2-1 is probably more realistic. And goal scorers, Job and Watson.
Nice. The reason I'm saying 4-0 and because I'm just fucking sick of draws.
Yeah,
I mean, it's that somewhat different and not a defeat.
As long as we're,
you know, we're at home, we're at home playing it against the team who are in the bottom half, like, and we're not playing badly. I keep saying it, we're not playing badly. It's just gonna take a couple of goals. Hopefully it'll be like the Coventry game where we go 2 goals up, but we don't fucking capitulate.
Davey, what do you think?
Yeah, I just think it's important to go into Christmas with confident, you know what I mean? So a couple of wins, you know what I mean? Just to get that fucking Christmas break. Well, not break, it's like, but just get that Christmas period because it's fairly busy, you know what I mean? So going into this busiest period for the team, I feel like, you know, a couple of wins will set us on the right track.
Yeah. Oh, that's a point, actually. Let me just double check because we might, between now and next Thursday, have another game. We do. We have Bristol City as well to do a prediction of. So
is that on a fucking Tuesday night?
That's on a Tuesday night, yeah. So we've got to do Stoke and Bristol City. Yay. The Bristol City game is, back-to-back home games.
Okay, well, Bristol City are currently 11th.
I'm just worried about teams like West Brom, mate. Like, they literally didn't come to do nothing, and I feel like that's what might happen. That's my only worry.
That's the problem, isn't it? Like, teams come and just sit.
I'm just worried about them.
Like, so on that,
they're going to win in the sense that they're going to fucking sit.
Yes, I think we just need to invite teams further up the pitch more. I know it's really nice to see constant attacking football, but if you're shooting into a wall all the time, we need to figure out how to make that wall a little bit thinner. The easiest way to do is...
We did it against Coventry. We scored 2 goals on the break. Well, yeah, actually, Wilson's goal was on the break.
So we know how to do it.
And I've said this before, if you look at the possession stats last year versus this year, it's almost flipped. Like, we're not keeping possession for the sake of it. Like, I think we can do that and we should do that. You know, teams are going to come to the stadium, like, especially and just sit. And when we go away to some of the, you know, the teams further down in the division, they are going to sit and hope for a draw. It's up to us to either break them down or catch them on the break.
Yes.
Is another win. It's going to be 3-1.
Oh, similar. I was going to say 3-0. If we win our Stoke game, it's more that riding the momentum kind of vibe. Yeah.
We do need to build momentum again, you know. I'm not going to say we've stalled out, but slowed down a little bit.
Al, what's your Bristol City Tuesday night game prediction?
It's a bit too far away from me. I want to get one game out of the way.
It's only 3 days away.
I know that, but I just want to say we play against Stoke. I never like making two assessments because it's fucking not only way we off.
Well, put it this way, there's not going to be many away fans.
You know, what do you think, Davey?
But also, a lot of the suspensions are gone out of the way as well.
I'll get another 4-0 win.
So 8 goals in 2 games. I like it.
Yeah.
That'll really get us back on the track. Like,
I have a question.
You know, have I missed Shark Watch?
Shark Watch? Doodin.
Welcome back to Shark Watch. Here we go. Oh no, I've lost it.
You have to cut this bit out to me.
No, it's staying in.
Okay, great. I look forward to that. Right.
Hey, Davey, mate, what do you think? Oh, yeah, Davey, that's interesting.
Thanks for your input there, David. All right, should we do Shark Watch? Do it. Shark Watch Spotlight this week. Well, back. It's to Triantis this. As we all know, the man is up at Hibernian again. And he's doing okay. He's continuing to get games in the past 7 games. He's played all but, let's say, 20-ish minutes. So he's doing pretty well. He's getting the minutes under his belt. Averaging, do some quick math here. I'm going to say in the upper sixes, lower sevens. So you're talking like a good solid performance every week. Last week, again, similar to when I did Ekwa on the last podcast, Hibs played Motherwell last week and they won 3-0 and he was man of the match.
Nice. Ooh, we're there. We've got it. You ready?
It's coming. Thanks very much. With a solid 7.9. He's doing pretty well. There was a little blip. They got beat 4-1 off Dundee a couple of weeks back. And Trent has scored an own goal in that game. But nevertheless, outside of that one game, he's doing pretty good. That's all for Shaw Watch this week. Tune in again soon.
Do you reckon... I was just thinking when you were seeing all these stats about him and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon he would actually come back into the fold?
I think he's a squad player, mate.
He is.
I think I'd rather have him on than fucking Hilda.
But he's not. He's not a defender.
And to be honest, he's played
centre mid, defensive mid, and centre back at Hibs. He kind of like plays in that back, you know, in the centre of the park, yeah. Sort of in the back half.
That's a good utility player to have. Do you know what I mean?
But I don't disagree. I just don't. I can't see him. He's not going to displace Neil or Job. Rig plays a bit further up. He's not going to displace Ballard or O9. Or Mepham. So for me,
yeah, he's a backup player.
He's just a squad player.
Right. Well, you can chuck fucking the Elder off the bench, put him on it then.
Oh, do we need any more depth in that position? I don't think we do.
You're saying if he can play a fucking CDM and centre half, Yeller can't do that.
O9 can.
Yeah, but O9's normally on the fucking pitch. Yeah. I just think if you've got a player that can play two positions, who's probably better than the Elder? Why the fuck? Why not?
Because Hjelder plays left back. That's why Hjelder's on the bench right now.
He's not a left back. Well, yeah, before we go, what were we saying about Hjelder? So you're saying Hjelder plays left back?
Yeah, so Hjelder's on the bench because he can fill in at left back, and we have currently our first choice left back is out. We're playing instead Lugo 9 in that position.
Yeah, so exactly. So that's how much confidence they've got in Hjelder. So why the fuck, you might as well, he'll play centre-half as well, so you might as well put fucking Triantis on there, or someone who's going to get on the pitch, who you've got trust in. If I was Hjelder, I'd be like, well, you know, someone's in that position, and you're not playing me. That's how much confidence I've got in him.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know what I mean?
I would also say the same thing. But I said before, Hjelder's just an oak. The thing is, I said before, Hjelder is an okay player, and you both agreed he's in. He's an okay, bang average player. He's a body in a position, right? Triantis would be the same thing. Like, he's not better than any of the players I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So what is the point? He might as well continue at Hibs.
Because it'd be his third season at a row in Hibs on loan. Just sell him. If he scores 20 goals this season, he's 350k, mate. You tell me you wouldn't try him off for that. Here's a full time contract at the end of the season. There's...
I feel like that's the whole model. Oh, yeah, I thought the model worked. Chuck the money at players. That's not the way we do business.
I'm not saying at players. I'm saying at rewarding players. If we're
that's thrashed out of the contract, you know what I mean? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're fairly frugal when it comes to contracts. You know,
we're not. Yeah, the days of spending 60 grand a week on Jack Rodwell are fucking long gone.
Yes. Have you seen his recent podcast where he basically says, I felt like I was the victim?
Fucking liar. You're a fucking liar.
The victim. He's the victim, isn't he? Taking 60 grand a week and he is the victim.
Yeah.
Fuck all, but not even turning up.
He was saying he was on the bench waiting to get Clarence to play on the pitch. Were you fuck? Lying bastard. he was basically saying, oh yeah, the fans vilified me because I wasn't playing. I mean, you chose not to.
He wasn't going to training, mate. Just what a fucking moron. If you've met, if you see him in fucking Angel Pines, make sure you kick him in the shins.
He will never come to Angel Pines.
He's found his fucking level, hasn't he? He's in a fucking tin pot league somewhere.
He's in the Australian league, mate.
Yeah, fucking no, tin pot.
Oh, it's right, imagining.
I'm not getting attacked for this. I haven't seen an A-League game yet. Actually, that's a good thing. I might try and go and see a game before I go to the other side of the country. Why? How do we get on the Jack Rodwell? Sealed. Triantis.
I don't know.
I'll clean it up. Yeah. Don't worry.
Cheers, Davey. See you later, mate.
See you later, mate.
Thanks for your input, David.
Bye, David. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a good one. Bye.